Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. Good evening, good evening. We're going to be doing Simchin Chav Tes tonight, Beis Hashem. Hami Mechalin Shabbos. Moving on, it's closely connected to what we've learned so far. It is connected to Pikuach Nefesh. A slightly different aspect, though. And the Loch is as follows. Hami Mechalin Shabbos. Who and when are you allowed to do a Chilul Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? So the Loch in Zif Aleph is as follows. Kol Pikuach Nefesh Doiche Shabbos. Any Pikuach Nefesh pushes away Shabbos. Vazor is somebody is fast and swift in doing this Chilul Shabbos. Harizem Meshubach, this is praiseworthy. If you can do a Chilul Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, that's great news. Go for it. Afilu even. Noflod Leiko Bechotzer Acheres. If there is Cholid Esreifa, a fire in one courtyard, V'yoren is afraid, Shetavoy Lechotzer Zu, and you're afraid that maybe it will spread and go to the next courtyard, V'yovoli Desakoni may end up being a danger for the second courtyard, Mechabin, he'll have to extinguish this fire, Kedei in order Shalo Yisavo, that it shouldn't pass, he shouldn't move on. So Mishnah Berurah explains this scenario and says in Sefkot Nalef Lidei Sakona could go in such as Dikeshom Choylim, there's perhaps ill or elderly gentlemen, or Iktanim, or perhaps children, She'enim Yicholim Nivach, that cannot escape. So if there's a fire in one courtyard, you're allowed to extinguish it because you're worried that it's going to spread onto the second courtyard. And this is fine. This is a mitzvah to do that. What about if you're not extinguishing the fire, rather you want to do a, for instance, you want to you're not directly extinguishing it, but you are about to bring water from Erishus Rabim in order to extinguish it. So it's not physically only the extinguishing. It's if got the simple case, you've got bags of earth, of whatever, and you pour it over it, and you're extinguishing the fire. That we're learning, that's kibui, and that's, you're allowed to do that. But I'm not talking about that. What about if you have got only means to extinguish it by doing some carrying in the Rishus HaRabim? You've got water elsewhere, and it means to schlep the water from elsewhere in order to extinguish the water. I understand extinguishing is mutter. What about the schlepping of the water? Is that permitted or not? Yes, says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan base. Mechaben v'wa din and similarly the shori lehavsik bekelim shel matches. You have to bring kelim utensils shel matches made out of metal. Oy bekliches meleimaim. Or you have to bring earthenware which are filled with water. Hafilu tzurich lavia kelim dechus rabim. Meaning you have to bring something through a public domain. The ikahar beisum. There's many rishus rabim included. Many suri derais included. Many toyer transgression included. Nevertheless, everything is permitted. Now this is talking about a courtyard. What about in flats? Flats. There's a fire in one flat. You like to. What's that going to be the halacha? Pardon? Yeah, certainly. If the halacha is yes, it is permitted to extinguish it. You certainly are allowed to extinguish it. So, but there is a little point over here. What is the halacha if everybody is able to? If everybody is able to run away? If everybody is able to run away and escape? Not allowed to put it. That's right. So that's really the meaning of the first Mishnah Berurah. If you know for a fact that everybody is able to escape, and you know that everybody is safe and sound, then you would, in theory, the halacha is that you're not allowed to extinguish it. But it happens to be that you can't know for sure. You normally can't know for sure who's next door, and therefore it would be mutter to extinguish the fire. Yeah, okay, so extinguishing a fire is mutter, and in fact it's a mitzvah. Continues the sieve base. Ein hoilchin...
Grammar's okay? Extinguish it in a grammar way.
You don't have, you can do it in a straightforward way, even. If you can do it, grammar...
It's not going to be sakana to anyone.
If it's not sakana... Oh, yes, if there's a hefset merubah, I seem to remember that he seemed to have that grammar is permitted, yeah. That means that you have a earthenware keli with water, and you put that, and you know the fire is going to go and it's going to break it, and therefore the water is going to spill and extinguish the fire. Yeah, so I've seemed to remember you're allowed to do that if there's a financial loss. This is now an interesting halacha. There's a rule and an exception to this seif over here. So the rule is as follows. Ein hoilchin bepikuach nefesh acharoiv. Generally speaking, he will not go according to the majority. You will not go according to the majority. Ein hoilchin bepikuach nefesh acharoiv. You won't go according to the majority. But even a minority will be sufficient for you to extinguish and do a pikuach and do a pikuach be allowed to do pikuach nefesh tchir for Shabbos. So we'd even be worried for minority. But and the case is given as follows: Afilu hoyu tisha oiv dekechavim. Imagine the following scenario: you have got 9 goyim veYisrael echot bechotzi. You have a courtyard. It's a courtyard, and in that courtyard there's 10 people. 9 of them, you know for a fact, are goyim. 1 of them, you know for a fact, is a yid. Uperesh echad mehem, and one of them goes away, lechotze acheres, to a different courtyard. He left the first courtyard, and he went to a second courtyard. Venofal olav sham apoiles, and a brick of a wall, bricks, fell on this individual who was in the second courtyard. You do not know as to whether he's a yid or a goy. You don't know which one it was that actually went there. So you're not sure. That person is under the collapsed wall. You don't know if it's a yid or a goy. So it's a suffix. The halacha is, mefakhin, you're allowed to undo the stones and seek the human being underneath it to save his life. Although, we don't know if he's a yid or a goy. And the halacha is, let's just speak about that for a minute. You're allowed to mechal Shabbos for a goy. Right, so the halacha in the Mishnah is, and in Shulchan Aruch we are finding, the assumption is, you're not allowed to do chilul Shabbos for a goy. Because the only reason why we are allowed to do Chil Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh is because of V'chai Bohem, yeah? And in order they should be able to fulfill many other mitzvahs in future life. If we're talking about a goy, then it won't really fulfill mitzvahs in future. Only a yid will fulfill mitzvahs. And therefore, Pikuach Nefesh is only mutter. You'll have to save a yid's life. But when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, then you won't be able to save. No, it appears not sufficient. But this is only true in a case that you know that goyim will be fine with and accept that and they'll be fine with that. If there's any danger that the Goyish community will might not, it's called Eva. If you have to maybe be concerned about you're fearing the consequences of leaving a goy under the rubble. Yeah, if it's a backlash. If there's any serious concern of that, or shall we call Chilul Hashem perhaps, then the halacha is that then you're allowed to do Chilul Shabbos.
What's the halacha justification for that?
Between a yid and a goy?
Yeah, is there
because he's not going to fulfill mitzvahs.
No, yeah. There's a chashash that the goy might kill the Jew.
Eva, I do not recall now, but I don't think that Eva actually means that they're going to kill. It doesn't have to go that far. They're actually going to end up killing the Eden. But if there's I think, what was your word they used? If there's a...
Backlash.
Yeah, backlash. If there's a tremendous... If there's a fear that it's going to cause... I don't think it has to go all the way to Sakonas Nefoshes.
What's the
fear. You have to fear the consequences. Well, it may only be financial consequences. But if you feel that this idea that Yid was left a goy unattended and he died because under the rubble. This may end up that goyim will, he may end being consequences economically, financially, socially, fear element. Then it's mutter. Lemaisa the poskim say nowadays there's no doubt about it that there's an element of eva in chutz la'aretz and under any circumstances you may not leave a goy under rubble of stones on Shabbos and you have to see to it. Every Pesach will agree that. Now, there is an element of Eva. You're right, we don't have to fear that they're going to come and, there's no Sakonas Nefoshes per se, but if that goes into the public domain, we're all going to be. If it's,
of course, we're derisive up on that.
Yes. You probably need to meet more than that because the shift child of doctors on Shabbos, the shift question is that really should have not taken shifts on Shabbos. What gave him the permission to take a shift in the first place?
In the summer, if they can change, I imagine they normally do.
Question: if they can't change, then yeah, I suppose it's. I'm sure we'll be Ava. Yeah. Okay. So but we are assuming now for this Seif Rabbi Yisai that there's no Ava and you're not allowed to. Therefore, undig the Melachas of taking a goy out of this collapsed wall. You're not allowed to. So the question is over here as follows. What happened if there was 10 people in a chotzer, in a courtyard. One left. You don't know which one left. He went to a different courtyard. And in that second courtyard, the wall collapsed. Now, you don't know who is underneath it. Is it a yid or a goy? Are you allowed to?
Yeah.
Why? Chashuk might be a yid. That's exactly what Shulchan Aruch says. Mefakchin. You're allowed to do it. Kivin shenisha kviyas arishin bimkoymoy. Since we days, the kviyas arishin bimkoymoy. Chashvin only kemech tzalmech. So we look at least as a 50-50% chance that it's a yid, at the very least. And therefore, you'd be allowed to do Chilul Shabbos in order to save that individual. But now comes an exception, Abbas. And that is a very important an essential exception. In this case, we're going to be seeing now, you may not do a Chilul Shabbos. You mean, what's the exception? It's as follows. Avol, imneku kulam, they all dispersed. So there was this nine, there was 10 people in the courtyard. And they dispersed, they all went away. Nobody was left in the former courtyard. They all left. They all left different directions, all 10 of them. Neku kulam, v'shasa kiroson, and at when they left the first courtyard, one of them who left the first courtyard, he went into Chatzachet, that specific individual, he went into another courtyard, and in that second courtyard, the wall collapsed. Nebuch. And then the halacha is, we don't know if that person was one of the nine, goyim, or the yid, then the aloch is ein mefakchin alav, you will not save that individual, and it's an exception indeed. Why? Kivin shenek v'kvias harishin, because we cannot go according to the majority, kivin shenek v'kvias harishin, because the first kvias was uprooted, mimkoymoy, amrinon called the porish meruba porish. In this particular case, we will say, call the porish meruba porish, we will go according to the majority rule, and we're going to say, call the Parish, whoever left, Meruba Parish, left is from the majority, and since the majority was nine Goyim, you will assume that this individual was one of the nine Goyim, and not the Yid, and therefore, you're not allowed to do Chilul Shabbos for that person. Call the Parish, Meruba Parish, because nobody was left in the former courtyard. If there are people left in the former courtyard, you're going to say kemech tzamech tzadomi. You're going to go according to a sofek, and you're going to say sofek, and you're going to be able to save him.
In the first case, where did the wall fall in the original place?
No, second. But it's called kavua. We take it as a kavua, and therefore it's kemech tzamech tzah. One person left. In both cases, one person left. The only difference is that in the second case, they all dispersed. There was nobody left in the first courtyard. In the second case.
So in the first case, you are allowed to
Michal Shabbos?
For one person.
Yeah. Either way, you are Michal Shabbos for one person. The question is, do we assume is a Yid, do we assume is a Goy? We move on, because this is really an exception. And now we move on with the general rules. Mishnah of Rav Mapoilus. Sif Gimel tells us, what if somebody if there is a collapsed wall, Novlam Apolis, Sofik Chai, Sofik Meis, but I don't know. I know for sure somebody's under that wall. I know there's a collapsed wall. I know somebody's underneath it, but I do not know if he's alive. I don't know if he's alive. Now it's Shabbos, and I know to undo this massive rubble of stones, that's a Melacha D'Oraisa. I don't know if he's alive or not. I don't know. What's the Melacha then? Chilul Shabbos or no Chilul Shabbos? Indeed. So again, Misha Noflo Mapolis, if Mapolis fell on an individual, Sofik Chai, we don't know if he's alive, Sofik Meis, or perhaps he's dead, Sofik Sham, Sofik Sham, I don't even know exactly where under the rubble he is. He could be on this side, he could be on the other side, could be that he is, could be there's even a small chance that maybe as the wall was collapsing, perhaps he just managed to escape and run away. Perhaps he's not even underneath those stones. There's a small chance he wasn't even there. So Safek alive, Safek not alive. Safek perhaps he wasn't even there. I know he was there a minute ago. But could be just as the wall was falling, he ran away. The halacha is, mefakchin alof, yelat tu dechilot Shabbos, afal pishesh bekamas fakers, although there are numerous doubts involved, numerous fakers, nevertheless it's permitted. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Cotton Tess, Sofik who sham, Umayre it's talking about, Shoya sham be'isama polis, he was there when the wall collapsed, ve'enu yodua, and it is not clear, im his piklotzeis, it is not clear, it's not known as to whether he managed to escape mitoech hafecho as the wall was collapsing. What's the halacha? If I don't know, is that there was a wall that fell down. A wall that, there was actually, let's say, a house that collapsed. I don't know for sure there was anybody in there. I gather there was somebody in there. Jewish house. But I don't know if there was actually somebody in that house. It's likely. It's Yiddish house. And I gather there was somebody, but I don't know for sure. I don't have evidence there was somebody there 5 minutes ago. What's the halacha? If he's there, it could be he's not alive. You have to undo this collapsed. Do you guys toyer melachas? But Mishnah Berurah continues. V'nirani the piers. Bottom line. To what din afilu lo yroinu oisoy mitchilivin. If I didn't see anybody there beforehand, lehedi clearly. Rak only pevayze in this house mitzuyim bnei adam beis hazoyis. It is normally mitzuyim. It is no. It is the norm. It's expected that there's somebody in there at that time. Nami also mechalinu mefakchin esagal. You're allowed to undo this. Yes, you're allowed to do melachas deraisa. You're allowed to do melachas deraisa. You're allowed to undo it. Although we don't know for a fact there was somebody in there. Now the Mishnah goes off the topic a little bit and brings a very interesting additional halachas as follows. Habob machteres, fascinating halacha. It's Gemara in Sanhedrin. Habob machteres, the pasuk tells us. What's the halacha? Habob machteres, Habob say. It's a pasuk. Yeah, that's right. Somebody killed. What? Domim b'roish. That's right. Yeah. So end of domim. So the halacha is that somebody is trying to steal, break into somebody else's house. Pov machtes literally means somebody's, you know, dug a tunnel and it doesn't have to be literally, but somebody's breaking into somebody else's house. And the halacha is that somebody breaks into somebody else's house, you're allowed to kill him. Why? Roidev, it's a loch of Roidev. That why? Because he is going to be prepared to kill if need be. So again, there's somebody breaks into somebody else's house. He sees that there's somebody who's trying to protect the house owner, the balabais. They say, "No, you don't touch my things." And then the thief gets all nervous and he says, "Give me your money all." And he says, "I'm not giving any of my money. This is hard earned money. This is mine." He says, "Okay, fine. I'll have to." He feels threatened and he's gonna. The thief is going to end up killing somebody. Therefore, he's got a din of a roidev. And since he's about to kill somebody, the halacha is, somebody's about to kill somebody, you're allowed to kill him to save other people's life. And that's the bob machteres. What happens if the bob machteres, if the bob of this thief was about to break into somebody else's house, he's actually broken into somebody else's house, but he was a bit unlucky because as he was breaking into the house, he broke in the wrong way and he actually smashed the foundation instead of, and as he breaks in, actually the house is collapsing on him. Bad choice. And he's as he walks into the house and he breaks into this, the foundation, the house collapses, the roof collapses over him. Now the halach is to save his life, yes or no? Yes, on Shabbos, you have to save his life. He's not roidev.
Yes.
He's not roidev anymore. It's pretty, yeah. He's learned his lesson. He's not going to break in so quickly. Yeah. You're saying that what? He's roidev? Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's a Gemara. Habob machteres, the one who is Bob machteres, Benyan, in a way, Shemutu lehogoy, in a way that it is permitted to kill him, Uve eis chatirosoy, and at the time that he was digging and breaking to a house, not for the love of Gal, somebody fell on top of him. Ein mefakhin oisoy. You may not, as Rabbi Feingold says, you may not save his life. The Gavra Ketilu, because he's got the din halacha that he is allowed to be killed. So if he's allowed to be killed, surely and certainly you may not save him because he's allowed to be killed. So he's got, he's denoidev. He's denoidev. Now this is interesting. This is a bit comparable. This is, pardon? The din roidef is not about, it's not because of his ba'aktili. No, but that's, but it's not because of his it's not because of the issa of being a roitzach. It's because he endangered himself, so he's got din, he's roidef himself. It's not because of the chet. He's a roidef. He's himself now.
Yeah, but not with a wall on top of him, he's not a roidef. Because he couldn't kill the other guy.
If he got trapped as he was already a roidef, it's like he's already. Al-Shem Soifa, it's like he's dug his pits.
But when are you saving him when he's not a roidef anymore?
Yeah, but how do you know if you save him, he might not kill you afterwards?
Because you're saying, why not to save him now there's no roidef anymore?
There's no sentiment of these things.
No, that's a good question, actually. Why now he's not a roidef anymore? It's now he's not a roidef anymore.
He's not a roidef. He's still got the, what do they call it? The,
Ba'aktila.
No, the what's it called, Arishin?
Ba'machteres.
The Kavias Arishin.
No, that's about Sofek. No, it is not.
The thing is, until, whilst he was Ba'machteres, the Kavias is, he will kill. Therefore, why does that Kavias change now that there's a war on top of him?
No, the question is that he may not be a roidef anymore now because he's not actually he's not roidef anymore. He's but I'll tell you where this question is a bit, I don't want to be controversial, but can we just think about the following scenario? Somebody in the army, okay, somebody's in the front, a soldier, in, you know, the front soldier, and he is in the, think about the old fashioned, they were in those, what are those called?
Trenches.
Pardon? Trenches, yeah. So he's in the trench and he's fighting the enemies, you know, the Europeans now post Brexit, you know, like you know, he's like on the, you know, and the French on the other side, or whatever, the Swiss, I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and he's very literally, he's got his weapon in his hand and he's shooting and say somebody now attacks him and he's now a similar situation. I mean, he's probably, is he a din roidef? And there's now somebody, something has happened to him now. Now, Chilul Shabbos needs to take place for him. He now is injured. He's injured now. Or not for the love of Gal. And he's now in need of a Chilul Shabbos. Would you say that he is a Roidef, Bob Machteres, and therefore he's got, you know, he's a Roidef, and Ein Mefakchen Olav, the Gavra Ketilehu, Or is that a bit controversial?
Is he a Jew or is he not a Jew?
Let's say he's a Jew. Yeah, but I'm saying he was also talking about a Yid. But Machteres is a Yid.
And the people trying to shoot him.
I don't know why I should make a difference, but I assume they are. Why would he make a difference?
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, let's say they're both Yidden. Let's assume they're both Yidden.
So
you know the story that in the First World War, the English and the French, and they shot each other, and then they, you know, he said Shema. You know that famous story, yeah? Yeah. Pardon? And the food, right. Yeah. In the First World War, there was plenty of German soldiers and plenty of French soldiers, plenty of them, thousands. So the question is would you say...
So they're both trying to kill each other.
Yeah. Now he's a roidef, isn't he? Is he a roidef? He's a roidef, right? He's about to kill somebody. It's a bit controversial.
So,
is that what you're referring to?
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, so, okay, Rabbi, so I'll leave it open. The halacha is not like that. I'm sure Chilul Shabbos is certainly permitted for him. But it's just something to explore. Rabbi Sabi continued Mishneh Berurah. Yisrael Baal Averes Letehovin. This is a very widely quoted Mishneh Berurah. It says as follows. Yisrael Baal Averes Letehovin. A Yid who commits plenty of Averes and sins. But he doesn't do it because of a shitta. He does it Letehovin because of appetite. So we call what we call in good Yiddish a gob Baal Taiva. Somebody who's got, he's got a strong Yetzirah. And he wants to eat that because he just fancies that meat. And he doesn't do it because of a shitter. He's not moiret. He doesn't rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in principle. Just, he's a Baal Yetzirah. So Yisrael Baal Averes Letehovin, kol zman she'ein kofa b'Torah, as long as he doesn't rebel against the Torah, doesn't deny the Torah. Nira, it seems the mechanel of the Shabbos. He loves to chilul Shabbos in order to save him. But if he does chilul Shabbos in principle and b'shita also latzilu, you may not save him. Af bechol, even on weekdays. Kol shken also the chilul of Shabbos b'kuach nefesh b'pikuach hagal or b'shar refuah. Who didn't call on the isabir there? So the Mishnah says, what Mishnah addressed the question of a very important Mishnah. What's the halach if somebody is not keeping Shabbos? How to save his life? So somebody who fell under, had a terrible, imagine somebody, this must be a common shayla. What happens if somebody had a car accident on Shabbos in a Yiddish place, on Shabbos, and he happens to be a Yid. And he was driving on Shabbos. Now how many Surya Torah does a person transgress by driving on Shabbos? Plenty. And he had a car accident on Shabbos. Are you allowed to do Chilul Shabbos for him? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
He's a Yid.
He's a Yid. He's a Yid. So, so the halacha is the Mishneh Berurah says it depends why he's doing Chilul Shabbos. If he does Chilul Shabbos because he's got a strong Yetzirah and he knows deep down he knows it's wrong, but he just can't. He needs to drive. He's got this shopping only day a week. He's got it's not possible, and he's got this fancy car. He needs to drive it around. He's got that, it's fine, you're allowed to do Chilul Shabbos. But if it's a person that says he's got all these shitters, and he's got all philosophy why he doesn't keep Shabbos, he feels that actually everybody else got it wrong, and it's not the right way of keeping Shabbos. And the main thing is that, if he's got the wrong shitter, then he's got a full of pride in his understanding, in his philosophy, then he's a mumma lehachis, and then you may not be Mechal Shabbos. However, may I just point out that Chazanish famously says that nowadays it's very hard to find people like that because most people are lacking chinuch. Most people who don't keep Shabbos are lacking the understanding. They've never been really taught what Yiddishkeit is all about. They've never been exposed to real Yiddishkeit, and therefore the halacha of Tinuk Shenishba applies, and therefore they've got a din of Tinuk Shenishba, and therefore they've got a din of mumer leteover, not mumer leachis. Halach lemaiser Rabbi said the concern of the poskim is that unless you know a particular individual that has got a big shitters and very very cool, unless it's a person, a general person who is mechal Shabbos, you can assume that he's a mumer leteover and not mumer leachis, and therefore you must be mechal Shabbos for him. Because the only reason why, because it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara said the reason why you're allowed to do Chil Shabbos is because, to save him to that. Because if you do one Chil Shabbos, he'll be able to keep many other future Shabbos. And if you know that he doesn't keep Shabbos, then what's the point of being Chil Shabbos? Yeah. That's the cash on the Gemara. But yeah, so I think you could always argue that maybe he's going to do Tshuva. Yeah, but on a, so he said it's at least this, it's a Sofik. Yeah.
Is it a bit like Ben Torah from Ben Torah?
No, we wouldn't compare. No. We wouldn't. Ben Torah is an exception. We don't normally judge somebody according to the future. What will happen? So okay, but the halacha is we are assuming that people are mumer leachis and mumer letov and mumer leachis. Therefore, it's permitted to the Chilul Shabbos for them. Okay, Rabbi said we learned a lot. It's very important, essential halacha this evening. We spoke about Chilul Shabbos is. One should proceed and do as fast as possible. If there's a fire in one place, you're allowed to extinguish another place. We learned the exception of Kol de Porish, Meruba Porish, if they all disperse simultaneously. We spoke about if you're not sure if it's alive or not alive under this rumble of stones, you're allowed to do Chol Shabbos, even if you're not sure it's actually underneath it. And then we spoke about the Mishnah Berurah's point of Mumale Leteoven, you're allowed to do Chilat Shabbos for, Mumalach is not. And then more to follow on this very interesting sugya next week, Be'ez Hashem. Good evening.